verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's reading to the end of the chapter, Mark chapter 10, 35 through 52. Our thought tonight is a question, three little words. Who is blind? Who is blind? In these 18 verses we read two somewhat familiar stories. In the earlier verses, beginning in verse 35, the request of James and John to sit, one on either side of the Lord, one on his right hand, one on his left hand, in his glory. It's a selfish request, wishing honor for themselves. The second story concerns a blind man named Bartimaeus who sat by the side of the road begging just outside Jericho. It appears on the surface there's no connection between these two stories, but I believe there is. And if you'll stay with me a few minutes, we'll try to see that. A closer look reveals a divine arrangement of these two stories together. This blind man sitting there on that particular day, along with this request of James and John, it's not incidental or accidental. First, notice the blind man's name, Bartimaeus. The prefix Bar means son of, the son of. You remember Simon was called Simon Bar-Jona, son of Jonah. So the prefix Bar means son of. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Now, there's really no need for the following words in the text, the son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means, son of Timaeus. So it's like it's saying, son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. Just a repeating. And yet, by divine inspiration, the Holy Spirit repeats it. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. Emphasis is placed upon the name Timaeus. And that name means honor. Timaeus means honor. James and John had requested for themselves honor. And now here's the son of honor, a blind beggar. It was believed in those times that blindness was a curse. You remember in John chapter 9, the man born blind, Christ's own disciples asked, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. So they believed blindness was a curse, with no honor possibly attached to it. But here's a son named Son of Honor, Bartimaeus, and he's a blind beggar. And here is the honor. He was only blind physically. That's the honor. He's really not as bad off as James and John were in many respects. And that's what I want to look at for a little bit. So in verse 35, James and John came to the Lord and they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you to do. How selfish is that? Look closely at that verse 35. We would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. We want you to promise us the answer is yes before we even tell you what we want. And the Lord said, what is it you want? And they told him. And he tells them, you don't know what you're asking. He could have said, we both know why you're asking. But he said, you don't know what you're asking. But he asked them then, in order to occupy these positions, are you ready to walk the road I walk and to face what I'm facing? Verse 38, are you able to drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with? And they said, oh yes, we can. And Christ said, you shall indeed, but to sit on either side of me in my glory is not mine to give. That belongs to my Father. And verse 41 says, when the other 10 heard it, they just really came unglued. I can imagine they said, of all the selfish, low-down tricks to ask for their own honor, verse 41 says they were much displeased. It actually says they began to be much displeased. And the Lord saw where this was headed, and he has a word for them. Verse 42. Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. That's the way secular authority and government and works. They've got to have their day of glory. That's how it is in most everything in this world that we live in. Jesus said, it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Very unpopular way of thinking. When a company dedicates a new office facility, a fine building, they don't have the janitor to cut the ribbon or the groundskeeper. No, they have the mayor of the town and the president of the company, ranking officials. Christ said, that's the way the world operates. That's how they measure honor. But in spiritual things, in the kingdom of God, that's not how it is. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Minister meaning servant. And whosoever of you will be chiefest of all shall be servant of all. He's really talking about himself. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. I didn't come into this world to be honored by the world, but to minister, to be a servant, actually to give my life a ransom for many. I've come to die, not in the world's honor, but in shame, to pay the sin debt of my people, to give my life a ransom, a payment for many. It is immediately following these words, verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, Mark's account does not include anything that happened in Jericho. The story of Zacchaeus and the Lord going home with Zacchaeus for the day. No, Mark omits all that and goes straight to the scene as they leave town. Not an unusual scene, really. A blind man begging. But with an unusual double-stated statement here. Honor's son, the son of honor, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now for the question, who is blind? Let's look first at the perception of Bartimaeus. He has a spiritual vision in that he knows the coming Messiah is to be the son of David, of the house and lineage of David, of the tribe of Judah. This man is physically blind, but when he hears people say who it is coming down the road, and we read here that they say, and it's Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus don't cry to Jesus of Nazareth. He cries, Jesus, thou son of David. He's talking to a different one than who they think this Jesus is. He's the son of David. He knows more about who Jesus is than those who saw him with their physical eyes. He's not so blind after all. Secondly, the plea of Bartimaeus. What does he cry? He cried, "Have mercy on me." James and John, rather than being humbled by the honor they were already given to be among the 12, selfishly ask for greater honor. But this man, Bartimaeus, knowing his unworthiness of any honor, does not ask for honor. He asks for mercy. So who's blind? Who is blind? The third thing, Bartimaeus' persistence. Verse 48 says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." I mean, that says it nicely, that what they're really doing is telling him to shut up. We're trying to listen to this man's teaching. And we can't hear with you screaming. Just be quiet. There's nothing to you. This man don't have time for you. He's got better things to attend to. And we read here that it wasn't just two or three of them doing this, but it says many. Many charged him, rebuked him, and said, "Shut up, be quiet." But spiritual vision cannot sit silently in the presence of God's Son. The crowd can't turn this man off. So very persistently, he cried the more a great deal. And he kept on crying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." In those brief words, this man is saying so much. He's saying, "I know who you are. I know my need of mercy. I know you can show me mercy. And I'm asking, will you have mercy on me?" Verse 49, "And Jesus stood still." Try to imagine this scene. There is a certain momentum with a moving audience. People crowding around, trying to keep up, trying to hear what he's saying. Some moving on ahead in front of the Lord. Others trying to follow and stay close. But when he stops, just a few moments, the whole procession stops. Jesus says, "Call that man over here." Commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." They must know by now our Lord's intention. They're not being mean to him now. They tell him to be of good comfort. They don't say to the man, "You've had it now. You've interrupted one time too many. I'm sure he's going to rebuke you like we've been doing." No. They said, "Be of good comfort. We believe he's heard you cry. We believe you're going to receive the mercy you've asked for." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I thought a lot about that statement, casting away his garment. Whether it were a blanket or a sheet or a robe or whatever it was, he throws it off of him. And I've often thought what all this involves, casting away his garment. I know it was literal, but it's casting away all hope in myself. It's casting away any worthwhile merit I may think I have to come into His presence. Casting away. It's to empty myself. Stripped. Helpless. Hopeless. And it's to trust Christ alone. Casting away the garment. How easy it is to come before the Lord, even to pray, and want to remind Him of two or three things we've done right. Like we're on a point system. That's not it. Casting away the garment is to cast away all hope in self. Now, verse 51, Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What is it you want?" Well, James and John are standing there, and I can imagine it registers with them just a little while ago, He asked us those very words. What is it you want? And Bartimaeus, unlike James and John, never asked selfishly, "I'd like to be something great. I'd like to have a little higher position than these other 10. I'd like to be honored above other people." No, he didn't ask for that. When he asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" It's as if Bartimaeus says in so many words, it's not just something that I selfishly want. This is not about my wants. There's something I really need. And now in Bartimaeus' address, note, he calls him Lord. This blind man begins to answer our Lord's question, and he calls him Lord. James and John had addressed him Master, Teacher. Oh, he was that, but had they forgotten he's the Lord? They were asking to be at the head of the class, teacher, master. But Bartimaeus knows he doesn't deserve anything, but he knows Jesus is the Lord, and he calls him Lord. How blind is this man? Only physically, I promise. And he says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Do you see that statement? The end of verse 51. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I can't help but insert right here the importance of that word "receive." "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Contrary to today's free will religious mindset, Jesus never said to him, "I've got whatever you need now. All you have to do is accept it. Just accept Jesus. The ball is in your court. It's up to you." Did you know the New Testament never says accept Jesus? It's your choice. But we read very often the word "receive." Received. As many as received Him. You can't receive something that wasn't sent. The word "receive" puts the emphasis and the authority with the sender, not the recipient. So Bartimaeus does not say that I might accept my sight. He's saying, "I know it's not my decision. I'm pleading for mercy. And what I need, I cannot presume upon. I must receive it from you. It's your decision to give it before I can receive it. And that's the heresy of most of today's religious thinking, is that God's desperate. He's leaning over the balconies of heaven, pleading with us to cooperate. No. No. He works in the hearts, and He brings His elect to cooperate. I'm glad it's that way. Now, in verse 52, is free grace declared? Free grace declared. We use that term a lot, free grace. I know y'all do. But really, we could leave off the word free because that's the only kind of grace there is. Huh? If it's not free, it's not grace. Wasn't free to God, but it's free to us. Free grace declared. Don't miss this. The Lord does not say to the man, raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible, and repeat after me, I solemnly swear, I take this oath, that if you'll do this for me, here's what I'll do for you. No, that's not it. That's not it. The Lord Jesus says this to the man, go thy way. He didn't say, follow me. He don't have to. He knows the man will. But He says, go thy way. Get on with your life. You won't get a bill for this. It's free. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Christ calls it thy faith, not in the sense that it originated with Bartimaeus, but in the sense that it was God-given. It was a gift of God to Bartimaeus. Spiritual vision. The eyes in his heart were opened long before the eyes in his head were opened. Nowadays, people want healing of every kind except heart healing. Pray for my aches and pains. Pray for my back and my arthritis and my feet. It's my feet right now with me, I'll be honest with you. Pray for my kidneys and my lungs and my heart and my cancer, and all this stuff is in order. It's right. Pray for all this for me. But don't tell me how to live. I don't want any spiritual miracles, just physical. This man received physical sight only in the exercise of his spiritual vision. You say, don't you believe in praying for people physically? Not at the expense of ignoring their spiritual condition. 99% of prayer requests that I get are for physical help. My friend is facing this or that or the other. And the doctor said they might not survive. Please pray. They'll be all right. Hardly ever anybody comes to me and says, my friend is in serious trouble. They don't think he's going to live, and I'm afraid he's going to hell. They don't ask for that. They ask to be raised up to live like hell for a while longer. No, no. A spiritual touch is the real need. We're so much like James and John. Just raise them up, Lord, so we can go on living our selfish lives and ignoring you and in this dog-eat-dog religious competition that we can be something greater than the others. No. In this passage, The giving of the physical sight is not the real beauty of the story. Going to hell blind is no worse than going to hell with 20/20 vision. People are going to hell is the issue. And we don't really care. Go thy way. Go on about your business. But there's a secret here. Christ knew that the work of grace, which said, go thy way, that same grace had made Christ's way Bartimaeus' way. And Bartimaeus would say, I'm not wanting to go my way. I'm wanting to go your way. And that's what happened. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He received his sight. Followed Jesus in the way. Christ's way was Bartimaeus' way. Is his way your way? Apart from spiritual vision, it's not. He can heal all the physical ailments that any of us would have, and let you enjoy life and perfect health all the way to hell. What's it all worth without Christ? Really, we learn here, the person crying for mercy is the person that's already received mercy. And this heart for the Lord is the mercy we need. So who's blind? Is it Bartimaeus? Or is it James and John? Is it you? Is it I? Let's bow. Our Lord, open our eyes to see that physical things in this world are most blinding in their nature, and that my sinful heart and mind is most blind to what's really precious and what's really needed. Lord, please open our eyes afresh to the need of your mercy. And open our lips to cry to you for mercy. And give us a heart for you, which is mercy. Lord, as Bartimaeus was saying, don't leave me here like I am. Oh God, our Father, would you put that in every heart here this evening? Don't leave me here like I am. Do for us, O Lord, what we cannot do for ourselves. Deliver us from seeking our own glory. Give us a heart to follow you into your glory. Thank you for the blessings of this day, for thy word, for thy people. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.